This message was recorded live at Lighthouse Christian Center in Puyallup, Washington, and is designed to inspire and encourage you in your Christian journey. To find out more about Lighthouse, check out our website at www.lighthousehome.org.
Well, as I said, this is Family Worship Month, so this is that time of the year where we as your pastors endeavor to encourage you as families, to inspire you, to motivate you, to challenge you, hopefully not to condemn or judge you, and we always want to try to do our best to help you to capture a God-sized vision for your families. But I don't know about you, but as I was preparing for the message, because I'm doing the first weekend, next weekend, Pastor Scott Totten, one of our new youth pastors, is preaching. The week after that, Jonathan Schmidt, Pastor Jonathan, another youth pastor, new youth pastor, he's going to be preaching. So it's going to give us a chance to, you know, get to meet these guys and hear from them. But I was talking with them and I said, you know what, I just wish, and maybe I'm not alone in this, but for those of you who have, you know, your families, don't you wish that there was some place in the Bible? It doesn't have to be a whole book of the Bible, just a chapter or just maybe 40 verses that would give us like the model family. You know, the biblical family that we could turn to, we could read that and say, here, this is the way that we're supposed to live as a family. But, I mean, where do we turn? Where do we turn in Scripture for that model biblical family? Well, let's start with Adam and Eve. Oh, yeah, sure. Thanks a lot for introducing us to sin and having one brother kill off another. That's not the model family. So what about Abraham? Abraham and Sarah. Yeah, maybe we can look at them as a model family. Oh, sure. Pass your wife off as your sister. Sleep with another woman, and then send her and the child off into the wilderness. Yeah, that's a good model for a family. Or how about Jacob's family? How many of you here have boys or brothers? I am absolutely confident that Joseph's brothers were not the first ones to consider selling him, their brother, into slavery. Should we use them as a model? No. Well, I know. Wait, what about Solomon? Solomon, wisest man ever to live. Oh yeah, which of his 700 wives should we look to as a model? And even as we come to the New Testament, we see these men, we see these guys leaving their families to follow some radical rabbi who says, if you're not willing to leave everything and hate your mother and father, you cannot be my disciple. What a dilemma. What a dilemma. What do we do? Well, I got good news for you. Just like every other area of our lives, I believe that we can trust God's word for the principles, the truths, the precepts, the statutes, the commands that it contains. And here's something that's really cool, is that when we unpack what God has recorded for us, when we read the Bible, not just look for a verse or a section of scripture or a chapter, when we really read the Bible from start to finish, God begins to reveal a very clear image to us. And you know what it is? It's simply this. The most important family relationship is the family of God. I'm going to say that again. The most important family relationship is the family of God. See, just as marriage is God's gift, as that earthly relationship, that covenant relationship that points to the eternal, unbreakable bond between Jesus Christ and his church, I believe that our church family, the family of God, is a picture of what it means to be, I mean, our families is supposed to picture what it means to be a part of God's family. So what I'm trying to say is for those of you who are coming and maybe you knew that it was Family Worship Month, you may be surprised to hear that I'm not starting talking about your family because I want to lay the foundation for the messages that are to come this month. See, I believe that instead of modeling thinking about what God's family is based on our family, which a lot of us do, we model, maybe we think about our Heavenly Father's love for us based on our earthly fathers? No, it should be the other way around. We need to understand, what does it mean to be a part of God's family? And then how do we live that out in our family? So take heart today, friends. Listen, if wives, if your husband has ever tried to pass you off as his sister, no? Okay. If you maybe have sin in your family, if your boys are ready to just kill each other, take heart. Because we can all endeavor to follow Christ in order to understand what it means to be all in the family of God. And when each of us comes to faith in Jesus Christ, something really amazing happens. Three things that I think really, really begin to take root when we come to faith in Jesus Christ. First of all, we get a new family. We get a new family. We also get a new identity. We gain a new identity. And then as a result of that, we have a new purpose. So those three things is what I'm going to unpack today. So the first one, again, is when we come to Christ, we become a part of a new family. You know, it's been said that family is kind of like fudge. Pretty sweet, but with a few nuts. I don't know about you, but I think every family has that crazy uncle or crazy aunt or that crazy family member. And if you're sitting there going, no, it's probably you. A few nuts in every family. But I want to ask you, how many of you had a chance to choose your earthly family? How many of you had a chance to choose? Did you get to choose your mom? No. Did you get to choose your brother or your sister? No. Now, I'm not going to look at you, and I don't want you to shout out, because the next question is if you could have chosen, would you have chosen your mother or father or your brother or sister? And even though I said don't shout it out, I had one little boy at an earlier service go, no way! But here's the point, friends. We do choose to be a part of God's family. We choose to be a part of God's family. How? Simply by placing our faith in Jesus Christ. It's that simple. Look at what Scripture says. There's so many beautiful verses here that talk about what it means to be a part of God's family. Galatians 3 says, in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. John 1 says, yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent nor of human decision or of a husband's will, but born of God. And I love this verse in 1 John 3. See what great love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. Emphatically stated. That is what we are. See, guys, we're a part of God's family first. Why? Because we all have the same heavenly Father. And that's the only way into his family. And I want to make something very clear here. Not everyone is a part of God's family. I hope that each one of you is a part of God's family. But if you're a part of God's family, it's not because you're black or white or rich or poor. It's not about the family of origin that you come from. It's not about how much money you make. You cannot earn your way into God's family by trying to do all the right things, by being nice to people, by saying the right things. You cannot have entrance into God's family by the religious practices that you observe or even the place where you worship. And here's something else I want to make really clear. Listen, Lighthouse, we have what's called core values. Those four or five things that we just say, we're going to die on our sword for these things. The truth of God's word is one of them. But I want you to know that families is another one of our core values. But here's what I want you to understand. A lot of churches say, well, the church family should be made up of core nuclear families. But guys, I'm just going to tell you, that's not true. That's not true. That is not what we believe. Yeah, we love families. Why? Because we believe it's God's plan for evangelism and discipleship. But we also understand that God's family means that all who come to faith in Jesus Christ are now part of this family. Whether you are single, whether you are adopted, whether you are a widow, whether you were the worst person before you came to Christ, it doesn't matter. We are all a part of God's family. So yes, families matter, but the church family is not simply made up of nuclear families. You know, the Bible puts it this way in Galatians 3. You were baptized into union with Christ, and now you are clothed, so to speak, with the life of Christ himself. So there is no difference between Jews and Gentiles, slaves and free people, between men and women. You are all one in union with Jesus Christ. So can we just start there? Can we get our minds wrapped around that? That we look at our earthly family. But what God is calling us to do, I believe, is to say, wait a minute, before you just look at your earthly family and say, oh, we need to do this, and we need to do this, and we need to demonstrate this and practice this. We can't do that until we understand that we're a part of a heavenly and eternal family because we have one Father in heaven. We are family. No, I'm not going to sing. I have resisted every service. I'm not going to do it now. Maybe at the end. No, my daughter's here and she already told me, Dad, please don't sing. So we have one Father. We are one family. These are your brothers and sisters in Christ. So that's the first thing. When we come to Christ, we immediately are adopted into his family. But that's not just enough. That's our, that's who we belong to now. We don't belong to ourselves. We belong to him. But it goes even further. The second thing is we gain a new identity. This is really cool. See, we're now brothers and sisters, and therefore we should have a family resemblance. Isn't it true that most of your children, or maybe you, favor either your mother or father, biological families? You probably look more like your mom or look more like your dad. Listen, I'm going to tell you, growing up, I hated it. Why? Because I look like my mom. And I mean no disrespect to my mom. I love her smile. She's a beautiful lady, great personality. But when you're a teenager or a young boy, you kind of get tired of hearing, oh, you look so much like your mother. You know what the worst part was, guys? I see a lot of you, you know, laughing, is I was kind of a late bloomer. So ask your parents later what that means. I would answer the phone and I'd go, hello. And they'd go, oh, Peg. And I'd go, and I go, no, this is Paul. I try to lower my voice. And, you know, I won't go there. Okay, but people tell me that as I get older, I look and sound a little bit more like my father. So in our earthly families, there's going to be some family resemblance. And you would say, well, yeah, but is this family, the family of God, is there going to be any resemblance? Well, externally, maybe not, because we all come from different ethnic backgrounds. Some of us are older. Some of us are younger. Some of us are taller. Some of us are shorter. Some of us have a lot of hair, not quite like the 80s photos we saw earlier. And some of us have very little hair. Or if Lauren were here, she'd say no hair. Some of us have different personalities. Some of us are over-bubbling with enthusiasm. Others are kind of like Pastor Art, just kind of flatline, you know, never shows emotion, right? For those of you who are new, our senior pastor is just the opposite. I'm just kidding. We have different personalities. But here's the thing is that we should resemble one another. Why? There should be some resemblance in our family because the Bible tells us over and over again that when we come to Christ, we get a new identity. God's word says that we are to be conformed to the likeness of his son. He says your attitude should be the same as that of Christ. So having this new identity in Christ should cause us to resemble one another. Why? Because the same Holy Spirit is living within each one of us. And if that same Spirit dwells in you and me, and the Spirit is perfect and cannot conflict itself, that means the same fruit should be pouring out of us. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control, and on and on. So we should, just as we have one heavenly Father for that church family, we should have the same identity in Christ. One of the greatest verses that speaks to this is 2 Corinthians 5:17. Look what it says. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old is gone, the new is here. And guys, it got me to thinking this week. I wonder what would happen if in your family, your earthly family, what would happen if each one of you began to live out that new identity in Christ? Wouldn't that be pretty cool? Wouldn't that be cool to have that new identity and live it out every day? Guys, I don't know about you, but I think one of the most wonderful promises found in Scripture is that when I come to Christ, I have a new identity. What does that mean? It means that I have a new way of thinking. I have some new attitudes. I have some new beliefs. You know what I'm talking about. Think about, you know, April and I, before we were walking with the Lord, you know, some of the movies that we watched. And you know, you kind of forget about that. And then the girls are older and we're like, oh, girls, you got to watch this movie. This is really great. You know, you put it in and then about 10 minutes into the movie, you're going, ah! Pop that thing out. Get it out of there. I can't believe we watched that. Or you read the news or you see what's going on in our culture today. And we have a different way of thinking because we have that new identity in the Holy Spirit. And so I think that's one of the most rewarding things. But guys, I'm going to be honest with you. Sometimes it can be the most discouraging thing. And you're thinking, Paul, how, as a pastor, how can you possibly say that? Well, listen, all I mean by that is because I have the knowledge of Jesus Christ, because I have the knowledge of his word, I know how I should be responding. I know what the Holy Spirit wants to do. But what do? I do this over here. I respond in anger. I respond in impatience. Or I have this thought or whatever it is. And then I bring on self-condemnation. Guys, I got to tell you, the Lord's really been doing something wonderful in me in that. And I pray that he will with you too. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. All I can do is name it and say, Lord, there it is again. Please forgive me. Take it. And he does. But don't you wish, I don't know about you, but I wish sometimes that we could just come to Christ and just immediately we're transformed into that new likeness of Jesus Christ. You know, wouldn't it be cool if it was something like this? Watch this.
Three, two, one. Now, Mr. Stark. Stephen, can you hear me?
It's probably too late to go to the bathroom, right?
We will proceed.
That's 10%. 20%. 30. That's 40%.
Vital signs are normal.
That's 50%. 60. 70.
I got to tell you, if I would have had more time for this weekend, I thought it'd be really cool. I was going to take a refrigerator box, paint it metallic, and I was going to have Adam get some dry ice, and I, skinny pastor, was going to go into the box. The dry ice would come, the music would, you know, crescendo, the door would open, and out would come Pastor Brett. How many of you kids here, how many of you have a favorite superhero? How many of you have a favorite superhero? Yes? Who? Yeah, sure. Batman. Is that what you were going to say? What were you going to say? You weren't going to say anything. Captain America, who was that movie was in. Yes, yeah, sweetheart. Who? God? Aw. That is great. Absolutely. Who else? Who do you like? Some of the movies or TV shows, cartoons. I haven't heard it yet. It was a really popular one. Yes. The Hulk?
Yes.
The Hulk. How about you guys? Just shout it out. Spider-Man. That's the one. Yes. Iron Man. I heard so many Spider-Mans last service. I even had a kid going, shh, shh. I'm like, yeah, that would be pretty cool. But you know what? Isn't it funny? Seriously, isn't it funny how we kind of idolize that today? I mean, look at most of the movies that are being made. You know, wouldn't it be great if we could just get bitten by a spider and immediately be like Christ? Or go into a chamber and immediately become like Christ? Well, here's the news, friends. The Bible tells us that we have the power to become like Christ in every situation because we've received a greater power, a greater than all those powers. No wires, no electricity, no spider bites, no kryptonite, well, not kryptonite, no anything else. And that's the power of the Holy Spirit. You may not be able to see through walls, but in the Holy Spirit, you can see into a person's heart and know how to pray for them. In the power of the Holy Spirit, you may not be able to read somebody's mind, but the Bible teaches us that we can know the very mind of God. So my question is what would it look like? What would it look like, friends, if this month, just beginning this month in your families, you were to approach every situation with that new identity? It's not a secret identity. It's your new identity in Christ. And I want to demonstrate this for us this morning. But I want to ask you something. Just imagine yourself. Imagine that you are that skinny, weak, unconfident non-believer, and you're coming to the cross. What are we supposed to put to death? What are we supposed to kill off? What are we supposed to put aside from us? Where could we possibly look to find the answer to that question? The Bible. Yes. It just so happens that it's in here. Look in Colossians chapter 3 with me. It says, put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, greed, which is idolatry, anything that we put ahead of our relationship with God, idolatry. But now also rid yourselves of all such things as these, anger, rage, slander, filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge of God, in the image of its creator. So slide down, take the slide down. Now, I want to ask you, what are the things that we're supposed to take off, put to death? Shout them out. Anger? Filthy language? What? Greed? Rage? Jealousy? Lies? Slander? Immorality? Lust? Yes. Stealing? All those things. All those things, just leave them there. Put them to death. You can't put them to death. They've already been put to death for you. Christ already nailed it to the cross. When you're angry, he nailed it to the cross. When you want to gossip, he nailed it to the cross. When you lie, he nailed it to the cross. It's already been put to death. So what do? We simply say, I have faith in Christ. So now I have the power not to do those things that have already been put to death. So what are we supposed to put on then? If those are all the things that we're supposed to take off, what are the things that we're supposed to put on? What are the new things? Where, oh, where would we ever find the answer? You guys are catching on. Look at this, Colossians 3. Again, look what it says. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, with kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you, and above all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect harmony. So slide down. Again, what are we supposed to put on? Kindness, love, passion, compassion, gentleness, forgiveness, grace, humility. I haven't heard it yet. Above all these things, put on love, yeah, and patience. Those are the things that we're supposed to put on. Now, guys, I want to just demonstrate this morning. I want to demonstrate for you what that can look like. See, because I believe that in every situation in our lives, we have a choice. We have a choice. Am I going to respond to this in my own power, in my old identity? Or I'm going to look at myself as my new person and back up and respond in a new way. So just for fun, I just need like four kids who would be willing to come up. Now wait, before you say yes, I love the hands, before you say yes, I really need somebody who is not afraid to just ham it up, to act out, to just have fun up here. And your hand's still up, so you come on up, all right? And you also have to be able to read. You also have to be able to read. So you want to come up? Come on up. Come on up. One, two, three. And how about another guy? Another guy. Yes, right back there. Come on up here, guys. Hi. All right. Wonderful. You are so enthusiastic. How does it feel? Does it feel weird as soon as you come up here to look out? No, not at all. Are you having second thoughts? No, good. You're ready to ham it up and act out a little bit? Okay, now here's what we're going to do. Oh, and I need a Jesus. Who'd like to be Jesus? You want to be Jesus? Come on up here. That's great. Now, you don't have a speaking part, so what I want you to do, Jesus, he's like, yes! You just get to look sweet and innocent. Can you do that? There you go. Now, what I want you to do is behind this wall over here, behind this wall, hanging on a hanger, are two cloaks of righteousness. And I want you to grab those two cloaks of righteousness, and I want you to come right back over here and just stand here, okay? And these cloaks of righteousness, by the way, were made by Nada Ingrave. She's a member of our church, and I just want to say thank you to her for making these. And let me get the microphone. Now, what we're going to do is these guys are going to act out one of those things that you're supposed to put to death, okay? And then you're going to go over, you can take them off the hanger, and then you're going to go over and you're going to meet Jesus. And then you get to come back, and you're going to act out differently, okay? And congregation, you're going to get a chance to guess which attribute, which quality they're acting out, okay? So go ahead and mute me. Just stay tuned for a minute. I got to give some instructions here. Okay. I think we're ready. All right, let's see. What's your name?
Anissa.
Okay, I'm going to let Anissa go first. You guys step back. Now, don't let anybody see your card. That's okay if they see the back, but when you're done, you can open the card and we'll see if they guessed right, okay? So I'm going to stand over here. Now, Anissa is going to act out one of those things we're supposed to put to death. Go ahead. Yeah, you can read that or you can do your own thing.
I can't believe my mom won't let me go out with my friends. She is so controlling. I'm so mad at her right now.
You're mad? Act mad. There you go. There you go. What is that? Anger, are they right? Open the card. Hold it up. Hold it up for them. Ta-da! Anger, good. Well, why don't you go? I want to introduce you to Jesus, and then you come on back when I call you. All right, Alyssa, are you ready? All right, this is Alyssa, and pretend like you didn't see that. Okay, go ahead.
Did you know?
Really? Tell me more. Let's put it on Facebook. Okay. What is that? Gossip. Show the... Yes, you got it. All right, I want you to go. Now put... Jesus, you put that cloak, you put that robe on both of them. Yep, just put it on and you guys can snap it. That's the cloak of righteousness. You put it on them. Yep. Be a gentleman. Be a gentleman, Jesus. Just pretend like you're putting their jacket on and let them snap it around their neck, though. There you go. Okay. Every service, you never know what you're going to get. It's fun. All right, you girls come back over here. And now, let's see, you were anger, right? But now you've met Jesus. So now when you have a situation, how are you going to respond?
With kindness.
with kindness and gentleness. Very good. Give her a hand. Very good. Nice job. Go ahead and give that back to Jesus. All right, Alyssa, you can look at the back of your card and read that if you'd like. So she had gossip, but now...
Compassion.
Compassion. Yeah, do you want to read it, like, as an example?
Hey, I heard some really bad things are being said about you, but I don't believe them. I want you to know I am here for you.
Awesome. Awesome. Good job. Why don't you go give that cloak back to Jesus, and you guys can have a seat. Give them a hand. Oh, thank you. Thank you. All right. Now, what's your name?
Justin.
Justin. All right. Come on up here, Justin. Justin's got a really good one. Don't let them see it. All right. You ready? All right. I know this one's going to be difficult for you because you probably never do this, right? Huh? You can do whatever you want. Yep.
I don't know what we're talking about. I never give up. Give me that. I haven't even seen it before. I don't lose it. I don't break it. I think I gave it to Blake or Courtney.
Oh, did you hear what they're calling you? I said, liar, liar. Open it up. Are they right? Yep, lying. All right. Well, why don't you go over there and meet Jesus? And lastly, come on over here, Devin. Devin. Devin has a really, really good one. Are you ready, Devin? All right, here we go.
I can't believe my bleep and mom. She puts video games ahead of my homework. I mean, the other way around. Never mind.
Wait, did you just say bleep, bleep, bleep in church?
Maybe.
What is that one? Dirty mouth. Yes, orbit, dirty mouth. All right, show them what it is. Open it up. Filthy language. All right, Jesus, do you have any soap? All right, go on over there and see Jesus. Hey, you put the cloak on them. Put the cloaks of righteousness on them. All right, now come on back over here, guys, after you get your cloak on, because now you have a chance to show that new attitude in Jesus. Oh, there you go. All right, so you were the liar. Were. You put that to death, right? No more. You're a new person. So now what? Your truthfulness, what does that mean? Well, how would you approach that same situation when somebody asks you what happened to that jacket?
I didn't lose it.
You just tell them the truth, right? Okay. Yeah, very good. All right, thanks. Give them a hand. And finally, something that none of us can relate to. I just can't believe all those bleep and bleep and bleepings you threw in there. But now you've met Jesus. So now that thing with your mom, what would you say?
I'm sorry, Mom, and I know that God will forgive me for what I've done and help me to stop.
Beautiful. That's not even scripted. Good job, buddy. Good job. All right, go give the cloaks to Jesus, and you guys can go back to your seats. Thank you. You can keep it if you want as a reminder not to lie. Good job. And just set them on the ground. And let's give a hand for Jesus. Thanks, buddy. Now, listen, I isn't that fun? I just love having kids in worship, but I want to tell you something. I want to give you something very practical, families. I want you to listen, kids. I want you to practice something this month, okay? I'm going to teach you something that we did as a family when my girls were younger, and it still comes back to help us. And it's a game called Switch It. Switch It. And no, it doesn't mean you get the switch and hit your kids, okay? It's not what it means. What it means is this. I came up with the idea when I was teaching Bible Study Fellowship, and we were in the life of Moses. And I could not believe how many times the Israelites complained and complained and complained and complained, even though everything that God was doing for them. And I thought, boy, you know what? We kind of do a lot of complaining as a family and without even realizing it. And we realize that, you know, one of the ways to combat complaining is thankfulness. Lying is truthfulness. Anger is gentleness, etc. So I came up with this idea that and here's how it works, guys. Any time in your family that someone acts like that old self before Christ, you just say to them, switch it. You're not allowed to condemn them. You're not allowed to say, hey, Paul said not to do that, or that's this. Just go, hey, switch it. And then that person who is called out has to come back with a new attitude in their new identity. I want you to try it. Here's how it looks. Guys, I'm going to tell you, this can backfire on you, okay? Because here I am. This was years ago. I'm driving home from BSF. Driving home from Bible Study Fellowship. I was a teaching leader, guys. I was filled with the Word of God. And I'm driving home, and many of you know that one of the things that I share with Pastor Art is I have a little bit of impatience when it comes to slow drivers and long lines. And God is working in me in that. My family will share that with you, but I still struggle with it. But at that time, I was really bad. And here I am. I'm driving home. I get stuck. Listen to this. I am not exaggerating. In a 45-mile-per-hour zone, somebody going 20 miles per hour. You feel my pain? I was tired. It had been a long day. I'd worked all day, been at BSF. And so I pulled right up to this person's bumper, you know, thinking that that'll get them to go faster. It doesn't. And I was just like, and I lost it. I was just like, seriously? Come on. You think you can go any slower? The pedal on the right is for go. Check your pulse. Are you still living? And I didn't think that. I said it aloud. And this little voice from the back seat, my youngest daughter, Catherine, goes, switch it, Daddy. So you know what I did? Shut up. No, I didn't. I didn't. I couldn't. But honestly, it was just that little voice going, switch it, Daddy. I stopped. I backed off, back down to 15. And I just said, Lord, I said, thank you for giving me this slow person to teach me patience. Give me the fruit of patience, and I want it now. No, but it worked. It worked. Try it in your homes. Try it in your homes. I'd love to hear your stories. You can go to Lighthouse Families on Facebook, or you can send me a Facebook or an email. I really would. I'd like to hear how that works in your family. Try it, husband to wife. Try it, wife to husband. But you all have to agree to the rules. You're not allowed to say anything back in return except, oh, wait a minute, I need to switch that attitude. I need to think about it twice. See, guys, when we come to Christ, we have a new identity. And I know we're almost out of time, but I want to share with you the third point because it's really important that not only do we get a new family and a new identity, but we also have a new purpose. We get a new purpose. And I'm going to summarize this very briefly. If you look with me in Philippians 2, verse 12, it says, therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and to act, here it is, in order to fulfill his good purpose. Guys, why were you created? Why were you created? Why was I created? Why did God create you? I often get answers like, well, to fill the earth, to populate the earth, to be fruitful and multiply. Yeah. Why else? Well, to be in a relationship with him. Yes, that's true. But do you know why you and I were created? One reason, to bring him glory. To bring him glory. You know what that means? You are not about you. Even you are not about you. You are about God. Our purpose as a church family, our purpose as a family, earthly family, our purpose as an individual is to bring God glory. How do we do that? I am convinced that the way we do that is to reflect Christ in everything we do and say. To reflect Christ brings him glory. Jesus said, show me your glory that they may know your glory. See, I believe that our families, our earthly families, friends, that is the best environment for us to practice and to work out our salvation, to work out that sanctification. Why? Think about it this way. If your wife or your husband yells at you and you get into they're yelling and screaming at you, are you tempted and have you ever yelled back to them? And if you say no, I say happy 1 week anniversary. It's gonna happen. But what happens if your boss goes off on you? Are you going to go off on your boss? Probably not if you want to keep a job. Students, if your parents ask you to do some chores, do you get an attitude and mouth off to them in your own home? Well, possibly. But what if your teacher asks you to do the homework by Monday morning? Are you going to mouth off and talk back to her? No. See, what happens is that behind closed doors, under the roof, where we think no one else can see, that's the place where God gives us the greatest stage for living out what it means to reflect the attributes of Christ. Paul gives us some very, very wonderful, simple instructions in Colossians. Oh, look here, Colossians 3 again. He says, "Wives, understand and support your husbands by submitting to them in ways that honor the master. Husbands, go all out in love for your wives. Don't take advantage of them. Children, do what your parents tell you. This delights the master no end. And parents, don't come down too hard on your children or you'll crush their spirits." So I want to ask you, how you doing in your family? Husbands, are you going all out to show sacrificial love to your wives? Wives, are you submitting to your husbands as they are submitting into Christ and growing in him? Parents, children, did you know that when you listen and obey your parents, you're actually pleasing God? And parents, our job is not to just look for all the ways that we can correct our children and point out the things that they need to change. That crushes their spirit. Our role is, yes, discipline, but to encourage them, to bless them, to affirm them, to raise them up. You know, guys, I don't know about you, but I am so, so thankful. I'm thankful for my family. I'm thankful for my church family. But most of all, I'm thankful that I'm all in the family of God. And if you're thankful too, let's just close in prayer right now. Father God, we thank you. We do thank you, Lord. Our hearts overflow with just, we're overwhelmed by your love. God, for some of us, it's hard to comprehend that you would receive us simply because we received your Son, Jesus Christ. But we know that we are a part of your family, and we cry out to you, Abba, Father, come into our lives, transform our lives.
We trust you are inspired and challenged by this message. For additional resources and information about Lighthouse Christian Center and its ministries, check out our website at www.lighthousehome.org or contact us at 253-848-2028.